You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Here we go, let's hear what they say. Power go, we're on our way. Escape to reality. Escape to reality. Escape to reality. Escape to reality.
Woo-hoo. Welcome everyone to Escape to Reality podcast with Justine
and Geneva. Hi, friends. Thrilled to bring you our interview with Paul from 90 Day Fiance. It got interesting, guys. First, for our patrons, patreon.com/escape reality podcast, we're going to be putting up the video of the interview so you can watch that in all its glory. He's wandering around the house
pacing,
large
40 minutes at a time. I almost was getting sick.
For
like watching someone. He was walking fast.
He was moving.
How big is that place? He was like a mouse in a maze. He did not sit down. Finally, he sat, and I'm like, holy shit, thank God.
I couldn't look at it after a while. He ordered Subway. We talked about
with mayonnaise and chicken
and like onion teriyaki sauce.
Oh, nasty.
We talked about everything.
Vulture tacos or something instead of chicken tacos, and they're being told that it's chicken but it's too cheap, it's vultures. And wow,
we also
did he burn the house
the
down
burning
didn't
the
they?
House sounds like maybe he burned down the house.
The dad, he's George Steinbrenner's kid or something. Who knows who this guy is? I don't know.
Yeah, we talk about the dad. We get the update on where him and Karini stand.
Karini definitely hates him. We saw her face. That's definitely authentic.
We saw Karini. She's 8 months pregnant. A lot of stuff happened, guys. So get into it. Enjoy this.
We saw the baby crowning.
Yeah,
we have a vial of the blood.
We saw him give birth. It gets wild. It's his answers get rambling. We get all over the place. We talk 90 days.
Like I know him.
Yeah, it was intimate. So get into it, guys. Enjoy it. Don't forget, tag us as you listen. Twitter, Escape 2 Pod.
I would suggest watching it.
Instagram.
Don't even waste your breath. Waste your ears. You got to see it visually.
My face, too. I tried to control my face, but there's sometimes he's talking where I was like, oh, my God.
It's fascinating.
Fascinating.
And he's right up there. Like, he's just
like an old person.
Staring at us. Yeah. He wasn't staring off or anything. It was intimate.
It was all over the place. So patreon.com/escape reality podcast.
Said he was quirky probably 15 times. That's going to be on his gravestone.
He also said what did he say? I'm crazy or a mental health? He said something.
He started out like he wasn't crazy, that poor Karini's crazy. And then by the end, he was like, well, I'm nuts. So, you know.
Enjoy, guys. We love you. Check it out. Happy New Year. So you're in Brazil?
Yes. We came here. I'm coming downstairs, buddy. Coming down. Yeah, I'm in Brazil right now. So basically, there was a lot of stuff going on, and I just felt it was overall better for her mental health to be here with her family. Her family's been great. They've been really, really sweet and awesome and very supportive. So it's going better. She's studying on her English. Pierre's doing okay. Ethan's doing okay. Ethan's going to be born next month.
So it is a boy. His name is Ethan.
Congratulations. We really wanted a girl, but it's a boy. The only thing downside is in America, we had health insurance. So, and they actually start the, I don't know, I'm not a gynecologist, but apparently they start the, I guess the pain medicine at 2 centimeters, where in Brazil, they wait until they're about around seven centimeters when they start anything. But at the public hospitals, they don't allow any pain medicine at all, like nothing.
Oh, no.
So it's, like I told her, is I've been trying to find one within budget, because right now I'm paying for the home here and the home in America and a car payment. So I wasn't anticipating to pay the thousands and thousands of dollars for a thing. So I looked into health insurance, but unfortunately, they have like a 12-month gap. So before they'll cover pregnancy stuff or anything with baby birth. So unfortunately, I can't just get insurance policy on that, and I have to pay everything out of pocket. But I'm looking into it and looking into things. If you find something we can afford and work something out, so she can go to a private hospital and at least get some type of pain medicine. Maybe good for.
Are you trying to get back to the United States soon? Or are you guys kind of hunkering down in Brazil?
Right now, she's a little bit dilemma because of her whole thing for green card. Before we left, I was packing up the SUV, and some random, they end up arresting the guy. This random, I guess, homeless drug addict took something out of our car. It actually was a little plastic safe. It had her documents and stuff in it, which we had her green card in it. So unfortunately, they did get that. So we have photos of it and everything. So we might, I think if the embassy opens, which hopefully they'll open soon because we have the vaccine and everything going out. Once they reopen, I can go there, get her what's called a boarding foil. She's going to the United States. They'll fingerprint her, verify she is who she is, and she'll be fine. But it's a matter of, you know, getting all that paperwork and everything done so she can get on the aircraft. I mean, they could, in theory, take a picture of it and let her on the aircraft, seeing the photo, but it's kind of the day of the stress of them. And I don't want to be there for the flight. And then they decide they don't let her board. So we'll probably have to make a trip to Rio and go to the embassy and deal with that also. So there's a lot of unexpected expenses coming up. We're getting through there. She's looking at new, bigger places here now. I'm doing everything I can. I'm doing a lot of work on the internet and doing everything I can to try to make some, you know, make ends meet right now. It's difficult. We're paying for 102 countries. It's not easy, but we're getting there.
So how are you, when you say you're working on the internet, like what are you doing to make money?
We do a lot of things. Like I said, my family's company's always been into the sales and marketing. So different things on there in regards to marketing or doing some research or talking to different people. We do personalized videos, things like that also. So anything I can do on the internet right now from here, I'm doing. I was doing some stuff with English, but not a whole lot of, unfortunately, that's not a whole lot of money in that. And then like working here, me and Karine both have a work permit. So in order to work here, she has to go to her government, you know, go to Brazil and get a work permit. I'm from Brazil, I can get one. But the average pay here on average is about 10 to 20 American a day, if you're lucky. So really doing stuff on the internet, you know, making, you know, any money I can make, from, you know, American money is just one little thing pays like a week's pay here. So it's really just trying to find, you know, where I can, you know, to put things together with that. But I have some savings lined up. So that's also helped pushing things quite a bit. So I'm really big on making the finances are taken care of. I always pay all of our bills as far in advance as possible.
Yeah.
When did you get to Brazil? How long were you in the States for when COVID first hit here?
We got here. COVID was already happening. Originally, you wanted to travel before then, and we didn't. Now, of course, they have COVID. They had Dengue fever here. Her family's got Dengue fever. It's been, I think some of her families have COVID too. It's been a mess of things here. But we got here. We got here in October. We got here in October this time, and she's allowed to be out of the United States for 180 days. So as long as she's back within the United States within 180 days, then we're going to deal with renewing her green card and making sure everything's cleared up with that. And then actually, I think she's getting pretty close to her requirements for citizenship. So, and she speaks English and everything right now. So I'm pushing her for that. I'm pushing her to finish her schooling because she only has a few tests left to get her high school diploma here. And I'm hoping if they open the school back up, she can finish that. If not, I'm going to try to help her get her GED done because she has a dream of going to college in America, doing the cosmetology college, things like that. So she has to have her education done first. So I'm everything I can. The easiest thing, of course, would be to finish the few tests here, and then she can go ahead and go into the American college. without doing the whole GED program.
Okay.
So hopefully she'll get this test done here.
Okay. And after 180 days, is it like she would lose all of her work to get into the States, or what happens?
It basically causes some complications where we'll have to contact the people, explain what's going on. And we have reasons enough with it being coronavirus and pregnancy. The one thing that might cause a delay too is because originally we were going to have the baby in America. This is all kind of a last minute change of plans with us. Is if I'm waiting on his passports, because he has to get two passports, a Brazilian passport and an American passport. And if one passport's delayed, then I might be able to delay it a little bit and say, hey, we can't get it in the time frame because we have to wait for our child to get his passport. Something like that should be pretty simple, pretty easy to deal with, pretty understandable. But other than that, if it gets over 180 days and things are a little sticky and problematic. Hey, hey Dave, I have a food order. It's about to arrive downstairs. Do you mind getting it for me, please?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
What do you got coming, Paul?
Subway.
Oh, Subway. Wow. What kind of sandwich?
I got me a chicken sandwich with mayonnaise and sweet onion sauce on it.
That's it?
Yeah. I got that right now. Then, of course, I also have a I got a lot of stuff for Korean to eat here, too, like fish and stuff. But her family hasn't been feeling good trying to figure out how to cook it. But yeah. She's really big on fish and things like that.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite fast food in America?
Oh, gosh. A lot of things. I always used to get grilled chicken. Anywhere I went to, I would get grilled chicken somewhere, whether it be McDonald's, Chick-fil-A. Karini's a big fan of Chick-fil-A. Okay. Karini loves Chick-fil-A. I like Chick-fil-A. Yeah. She likes – Karini's favorites are Chick-fil-A. She likes Qdoba. She likes Taco Bell. But each of the – Qdoba and Taco Bell, she's very specific on what she wants from those places.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm Mexican, so I went to a Mexican restaurant and got, like, authentic Mexican food. She's like, no, I want Mexican. This is not Mexican. It's like, this is authentic Mexican from Mexican Taco Bell. She's like, no, I want Mexican. And I was like, we talking about? She's like, Qdoba, real Mexican food. I'm like, oh.
You're like, that's not real. I love that.
I think it's Americanized. Right. But okay. And I'll go there and get her. But she's her white rice, black beans. And she always gets her either steak. You should get steak. It's always to be well done, or her ground beef. And that's one thing with Karini is everything has to be like burnt. If we go to a restaurant, we say well done. Sometimes I just tell them, see, if it comes back a little black, a little burnt, it's fine. And they'll bring the meat out burnt. Yeah. And they think she's not going to like it. She's like, it's delicious. It's great. But I mean, coming from where she comes from, I get it. When I'm in Taunton Sheets, I want my meat burnt. I won't gonna lie. If they have food there. And on a side note of talking about meat, so we were in Taunton Sheets here recently, and Karini loved eating street barbecue. Always love eating street food. So I'm always leery a little bit of street food because they tell you tourists, traveling, weird street food. So I noticed, like, it was always chicken. Now, they had a large population of vultures, which I noticed was starting to, like, slowly go down a little bit. But, like, I never saw any chickens. Like, it's like, Karini, you're getting this chicken every night, and I don't really see any chickens here. And when you go to buy a chicken, chickens are really expensive. But this meat they're selling is really, really cheap. And I noticed the vulture population is starting to go down a little bit.
Oh, God.
Like, I don't understand. I'm like,
man. Eating this vulture tastes delicious.
Yeah. I mean, that was one thing. I always ruin things for her. Just like on the boat. She's like, why is America so nasty? Why don't you ever take a shower on the boat? She'd yell at me and take a shower on the boat and everything else. So finally, I explained to her. She's like, Karini, it's like poop water. Oh, it's river water. It's not poop water. Let me explain why I'm saying it's poop water. I was like, when we're in the boat and I flush the toilet, where does the water go? Thank you so much. The water goes into the river on the boat, okay? And all the plumbing's next to each other. It's like, yeah. I was like, when I turned the shower on, where's the water come from? From under the boat. So if our neighbor's flushing his toilet, you're in the shower, and it clicked. And since then, she's sitting with me now. She's a 2-liter bottle. She fills in drinking water, lets it heat up in the sun, and we'll like bird bath it in the shower. But now she don't use the shower water in there either. It's just like she never put it together. She never thought about it. And then when I explained it to her, she's like, it all made sense. But
have you always
better to live in denial?
Yeah. Right. Have you always been like a preparation? You seem like a survivalist or something, like you would do naked and afraid. God.
Yeah. I'll show you. Cause I mean, we have so many gear items here, even with birth, and let me say something else off the wall, but you're all moms. Okay.
Yes.
So this is a baby toy. Okay. It looks pretty harmless, right? Toy stuff.
Yeah.
They put a laser pointer on the toys.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering why, because he's waving at the traffic and all the cars were swerving around.
Yeah, that's crazy.
toys. But yeah, on gear, with baby gear items, like right now it's toddler. I got this around the house. It's like a deep choking device.
Oh, wow.
Thing. So basically it sucks anything out of their throat.
If they're choking on it, you shove it onto their face and somehow you start squeezing it and it sucks it out?
Yeah, you just put it on their mouth right here. Or you just pull this little thing down here.
Yeah.
And it just sucks. Anything that's in their throat, it sucks it clean out.
Did you buy that in Brazil or in the States?
I've seen that, actually. You can buy it here. Before
we came here. I was very, very, very
concerned. Kid was choking on mozzarella cheese the other day, and he pulled it out of his throat, and he was really choking. First time of a real choke. It was scary.
Better to have it, not need it, need it to have it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So is that like your philosophy for all of the stuff that you, like, because I feel like you have so much survival, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Somebody who believes the world is going to end soon, or are you just prepared?
Yeah. I mean, just like when the baby was born, I had this on his foot, and I have one for Ethan to put on his foot. It keeps track of all his vital signs. So we put him down to go to sleep. You know, you're always worried, like, my baby okay? Because it's SIDS and everything else.
Yep.
Wake up, is everything okay? You're running to the crib. I got a camera, it links up to the cell phone, then I have that. And as long as his vitals are okay, it has a little pulsing green light, and everything's fine. So, to me, are you coming up here, spider monkey? Got upstairs?
He's pretty tall. How tall are you, Paul?
He looks tall.
He's taller than me. He's probably, Greeny's brother Bonnie and Hani are very tall, so he's probably going to be taller than us for sure.
Oh, okay. How tall are you, Paul?
I am 5'8", I think.
5'8", okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll be Greeny's taller.
And how tall is Greeny? 5'5"?
Oh, something like that, like 5'5".
She's shorter than, a couple inches, yeah.
You guys aren't in the same apartment you were in when you were on the show before, right? This is a new apartment? Oh, you are. Okay.
So what happened was... When she went on her vacation, I try to like stay mentally busy and try to stay constructively busy. So first I cleaned up the house back in the States, and then I knew she wanted to come back to your family. And this place, it looked like something out of Hoarders. All right. It looked horrible. The film crew didn't even like being in here because it was so dirty, it was so nasty. It was just god awfully bad. It was unsanitary for her as a pregnant mother and for the child to be here. It was really, really bad. So I was like, she don't deserve to come back to that. So I came back here and I just redid the whole place. I got brand new paint. I took all the trash out, got all the trash out of the apartment. I bug bombed the entire apartment, killed all the bugs and everything, which I got to do again because we have the ant problem come back in. Amazonian ants, man.
Oh, God.
They don't kill stop.
Wait, I have to, ask. You said when she was on her vacation, what does that mean?
Yeah. When she was out of my home for a few months.
Okay.
I was very stressed out. I missed her and the kids. So I was like, okay, I want to get constructive. So I came back here after getting there to finish the thing up and talk to her family. Her family lived next door. And I just fixed the whole place up. I created a family gathering area, which is an apartment next
in
to
Brazil.
In Brazil.
Right.
So
okay.
I fixed everything up here so that when she came back, and she always wanted like a big blue sofa. So in our living room, I turned our master bedroom into a living room and I got a big blue sofa because she always wanted a living room area and a big blue sofa. Then I turned our original hoarder junk storage room. You know, everybody's had the junk closet. We had a huge, just full, all kinds of crap. And I took everything out of that, everything out, and turned that into a master bedroom. Got her a makeup cosmetics table up there. Just, you know, mirrors, trying to make it as nice as homey as possible. Got a nice king size bed up there. Just really fixed it up.
Excellent.
And then also we went up and redid, baby's room a little bit, but it was just mainly, making the place more homey, more safe, more secure.
Yeah.
So when she did come back to Brazil, she wasn't coming back to like, an episode of Hoarders where there's stuff everywhere.
Right. So you went ahead of her to get it set up?
Yeah.
She stayed in the States.
Okay.
Yeah, she was in the States. She was doing there. She had no idea I was here. And then when she found out I was here, she was shocked. She's like, why is he in Brazil? She didn't quite understand why am I here without her. I was like, I got done in the United States. I was trying to stay constructive. I was stressed out. I wanted to get things done. I wanted to be positive. So what can I do constructive? It's like, I'll go back to Brazil and I'll clean and fix everything up there.
How did you guys get back to a good place in your relationship after what happened this year?
Well, 2020? Everything that happened, it kind of got into like the lawyers, I guess, got involved. I of course have a very good lawyer because I feel the people that was helping her, I feel was trying to do similar to what's happening to Jehoon right now. And I had already lawyered up. I got the best lawyer, the very absolute best lawyer we have. in the city, and to make sure I had my legal rights protected with everything. And I hadn't seen my son for 2 months. I was stressed out. You know, I wanted to go see my kid. You know, I wanted to be able to get things together. So what I did was I took all the statements that were made against me, I had it translated into Portuguese and sent it to her family, which her family were horrified when they originally saw the thing, and they couldn't believe, you know, what I sent them. So then when they talked to Karini, and Karini found out that this statement was made that she didn't make, then she realized the people she was with weren't trying to help her. And that was a big thing too. I mean, they didn't let her have, like, when she came back to the house, I had a Brazilian from a church group go get her. So they went to the park, they picked her up, brought her to the house. I gave them security codes, everything, got back in the house. She's like, I needed the SIM card. I'm like, what? So I had a SIM card tray. So on her phone, they took away her SIM card and her SIM card tray. So she, she literally only had access to like Wi-Fi and stuff. So I went on Amazon, I got her a new SIM card tray. I called T-Mobile, got her a new SIM card, headed overnight to the house. We got that resolved. But yeah, when she left from the house, she had no idea what statements they made. She had no idea what's going on. She didn't
Who was making the statements? I'm sorry.
So the lawyer was making it on her behalf?
No. She wasn't even talking to her lawyer. Her lawyer was frustrated because other people were talking to her lawyer.
Are these like friends of her that she was staying with that didn't have her best interest? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
And they were telling the police things?
I guess it's like fans of the show had reached out to her. I mean, she left with them. And then when she got in the car, like her phone, everything went off.
She left with fans of the show? Had she met them before?
No, they just
came to get her from the Instagram posts.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. And yeah. She got in the car with the kid or alone?
With a kid, with no car seat.
Wow.
With a little backpack. That was it. Just only a backpack. That was it. Yeah.
Wow.
But she got there. She was there for I forget how long it was. But then once she figured out what was going on, the other Brazilian helped her get out because they were like really paranoid of her. They watched everything she did. So then once they got the other Brazilian got there, really nice guy. So when she was starting to have problems here in like, you know, postpartum, things like that, I had reached out. First, we tried therapy and things like that. And that wasn't really going good. So I figured I'd try something a little different out of the box. I went on Facebook and I found a church group of church Brazilians, and they were wonderful. They were the best. But when COVID happened, we stopped meeting. We shouldn't like Zoom calls, something like that. But once I explained to them what's going on, they got, you know, in touch with her. They picked her up. They brought her back. They got her safe. I finished up everything I was doing here in Brazil. I came back. We got things ready. We came back here. But it was too toxic with things like that. Like, I mean, fans were calling the cops. I had the cops come to my house one day like six times. They came to the house like literally six times. And the police were getting frustrated because, I mean, there was nothing going on. They couldn't call the house. And the first couple times I did a lot because I was freaking out. Like, why are the cops coming to my house? What's going on with this? Right. I was freaked out. I was worried. And yeah, that whole thing was stressful.
Okay. So like when you say that, you know, like it sounds like she was, there are other people involved in the situation, but like, how did she get to a point where she needed to leave? And like, are you kind of implying that that was part of her postpartum, that she just like had to get out of there?
She was pregnant then, right?
No.
She was pregnant with the new one?
Yes, she was pregnant at the time.
Okay.
She got to a point, I guess, like stress and everything else. And a lot of times what I would do is there's a hotel close to the house. If things got too bad, either I sleep on the couch or I would go stay at a hotel. Things got too stressful. Normally is what I would do. But she, at that point, you know, just went over the edge. And we had some stuff too, where we were filming and we shut down production. Production got shut down because she got, I think the best thing was being around her family, was being with her family, and mm-hmm. getting back here with her family has been the biggest solution to the problem. Because now when she gets to those points, I found that like seeking, like if you have somebody in your family has problems and you seek mental help for them, you know, a lot, sometimes it works good. Sometimes it makes things 10 times worse. It was making everything worse. So mm-hmm. her family here and being with her family here has been supportive. They've been a solution to the problem. They're lover, they're what? I mean, it's her best interest. The only thing they care about is her safety and her well-being. Mm-hmm. And I feel that, you know, that works. You know, in America, we have the Brazilian church group. They are very dedicated to her now. They're very sorry that they stepped back. COVID happened, so we all kind of stepped back a little bit.
They could communicate with her. They probably spoke
Portuguese. Well, before the whole COVID thing happened, they had actually had some Brazilian people that were like mental health specialists from Brazil that were actually there at the seminary. but unfortunately COVID happened, so she never got to meet or talk with those individuals.
So how's your relationship now? It seems like you're doing well.
We're with her family. We're doing a lot better. Like I said, we're in Brazil with her family. She has her family here. I think her missed her family a lot. But that was the big thing is, you know, not being with her family. She was, because when the whole thing happened, she had been with her family for at least like a year. And she's in America, you know, she's still, you know, learning the culture and the English and everything. And she'd been away from her family. And so getting back here, you know, around her family, like I told her, is that you can't trust, you know, everybody you meet or talk to. You know, it's not like, you know, in America, you talk to a random stranger person, you meet them, never know them in person, or take, you know, our child around them and don't know them. You got to know the people. Just like I always told her, you know, if this is a rule, she thinks it's unfair. She thinks it's unfair, but I made a rule. It's like, look, you know, if me and you ever get divorced, if that ever happens, that happens, I have a simple rule. And that is, at least we should know the person we're dating for like 6 months. Know they're, you know, everything's fair before we take our child around them. At least 6 months. I figured it was fair. She thought it was a little crazy. But I was like, you know, if that ever does happen, you know, I feel
hopefully it doesn't.
Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully it doesn't. I'm working very hard, trying to, like, so we came here to Brazil. It's everything coming here is positive. The only thing that's negative is the situation with the birth. Because even if we pay for a private hospital, they wait until they're 7 centimeters dilated.
Well, we remember watching her give birth the first time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was horrible. It's so nice to know she's back with her family, because it was hard for the audience to watch her leave her mom too. I'm happy they're back together.
So her mom will be back here soon. Her mom's fighting dengue fever right now. She'll be back here soon.
Where is she? In a hospital or is she with a family member getting help?
She's coming back. So actually, a blessing in disguise. So for Christmas, she wanted to go to Tonantin to see her family. So we had the money. We could buy the boat tickets, but when we went to go buy the boat tickets, all the boats were sold out. This was like 3 weeks before Christmas. Everything was sold out. Couldn't get a boat ticket. I tried to, like, you know, even pay scalping charges, but there wasn't even a ticket to even buy that was like overpriced. Like, there was literally no tickets. So I was like, okay, we obviously can't go. So we're here with her brother and her cousin, and we had Christmas here with them. But then we found out her mom actually had dung here. So it's like, we could have been there. You could have got dungy fever, you know, everything else.
Being pregnant, it'd be great. Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And being pregnant with that would be really, really, really bad.
What happens with that? What happens to you?
It's you get a fever, you get really, really sick. It's like some spots on the skin, but I mean, they get dungy fever
until you recover.
I think it's a few weeks, which gets complicated here because you have dungy fever, you got yellow fever. You have Zika, you got coronavirus. Which in Tonantin, they just don't even care anymore. They don't wear masks. They don't social distance. They don't do nothing.
Yeah, they got to worry about dengue fever. Who gives a shit about coronavirus?
They guess, well, yeah, the viruses they have there are more likely to kill you than by the coronavirus. Yeah. They got malaria. God, so many things there.
Yeah.
And when I got Tonantin, it didn't take long. I got a fever. I got sick. Pierre got a fever. He got sick.
You got it too.
I don't know. It wasn't dengue. I don't think it was dengue.
Just something.
Sick, and then because I went to the hospital, I thought I had coronavirus, and it was like, oh no, it's just coronavirus, you're just fine, you're okay. They gave Pierre a shot, I think it was penicillin, and then he was better the next day, he was fine. And then me, I was a few days, it's just I eat some lean protein and a lot of orange juice. That's my big thing in the Amazon. When I get sick, I eat a lot of stuff. That's one thing I've learned in Brazil, is like natural remedies to stuff. Like, I have all kinds of like health problems. I used to take tons of prescription medicines every single day. And like my GI tract, my sister actually had ulcerative colitis or colon, is I couldn't figure it out, but actually eating more bananas actually solved most of my GI problems. If I have like anxiety problems, I can eat extra bananas and my anxiety level will go down. It's bizarre.
Wow.
I had gallstones. That was the scariest thing I think it happened here. We were in Tonantin's. Pierre got really sick. I got really sick. Pierre got better. My health got bad, and I went to the hospital, and they kept checking my eyes and my skin, and they were acting strange. Ends up, I had gallstones, and I guess they're starting to get jaundice. And they gave me, they told me to eat like citrus stuff, things like that. Get back, so I have surgery. So I had a Mercy flight. So I got on American Airlines, the Mercy flight back home. I get back to the United States. I go to my doctor, ultrasound, and I had drank so much of that citrus stuff that I actually passed all my gallstones.
Oh, by the time you got there.
You didn't feel them, or do you feel gallstones?
I felt them when they left.
Oh, you did.
Worst kidney stone pain, yeah. It was ungodly bad. Yeah, it was bad. But
so
apparently, if you drink enough and they're small enough, they will pass.
Wow.
That's very, very rare, but I'm just glad I didn't get cut
off. Feeling better. Yeah.
Yeah. How's your mom doing?
She still has, she hasn't traveled here yet because of the blood clots and stuff and the coronavirus, but her car condition too, hopefully it's getting better. She wants to come here and travel. Hopefully she wants to see Tawny Cheese maybe one time. She wants to come here and travel too, help out. And then we travel back. And then if we have to go to Rio, we're going to need her help and Grace Lee's help. We're going to have two kids and then all the traveling, you know, we're going to have to do with the two children.
Yeah.
How do you get to Rio? By what?
Rio?
How do you get to Rio? You're going to take Rio,
we'll have to fly down to
You'll
Rio.
Fly. Okay.
Yeah. It's the only way to get down there. So we'll have to go down to the embassy. If we have to do that, and we have, when they do, if I have to do a boarding foil, you have to do it within 30 days of the flight, which means I originally wanted to do it before Ethan was born, but then I was like, we have to wait until the whole thing with flight, because then if he's born, then we have to get his passport, everything else. So after he's born and then we have everything lined up for it, so we have to make sure we go down there. Right now we're aiming, hopefully get back by April-ish, because that's right around her 6-month mark. Before. So we'll go down to Rio de Janeiro.
Get it handled, hopefully.
How'd you come up with Ethan?
Karini actually actually had the name. Originally, the original name was going to be Kale. And I made a comment. I mean, it's
Kale? Like the vegetable?
I like Ethan better, I think.
Same thing I said.
Okay. Yeah, Kale.
It's like, I don't want to be called Salad Boy.
It's a trend.
Yeah. Oh, is it a trend? I was not aware.
No, Kale. I guess it is. But, you know, Kale, I thought was a trend in restaurants for a little
while. Well, it is. But it's not a trend in names, right?
Yeah.
No. Oh, that's what I mean. Like, you don't want to name your kid a trend. Right. I like Ethan.
Ethan was the name she went with. So I'm trying to say, so if she wants to, she can do another one. But like with Pierre, originally it was going to be just Pierre, or here they say Pierre. Pierre Martin Staley. Pierre and Martin Staley, but I told her no because
Staley, that's how you say
PMS. So I didn't want to have PMS for the initials. So she said,
good call.
Pierre Noah Staley. She's like, no, then they'll add an E and I. You know, kids are. They'll add an E and I. I'm a
penis.
Penis.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
right.
So, yeah. So I was like, Pierre Noah Martin Staley. So can you do that? I was like, a lot of people here got four names. I mean, Brazil, it's common.
Yeah.
Our surnames and has two names. I think it's fine. Yeah. So became Pierre Noah Martin Staley. The only complication with that too is when it came down to the American stimulus stuff, there's a glitch in his stuff. So because of his name, so we didn't get anything.
Oh man.
Well,
you could
welcome
name
to
a 90 Day Fiancé in the middle of there too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, still have the lock of hair that your mom gave you?
I have that somewhere, but I actually have up here. I have Pierre's hair.
You have his hair ready?
I have a thing too of his. Oh, let me go downstairs here.
So is this a thing in your family?
Yeah, is this like a family tradition?
You have a sister. Does your mom care to keep her hair?
Karini's a little all right. We'll go through in a minute.
The poor thing. She's 8 months pregnant. I don't blame her. I feel.
Oh no, yeah. She
feel for her.
She's sitting on the bed putting her mask on, but she's not decent. So no, my mom is where the hair thing came from. My gear thing came from my dad, but my mom, she of course gave me the hair in the show. She's a cancer survivor, so hair is always a big deal too with her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's nice then. I feel like a jerk. That's nice.
Yeah. Her sister, one of her sisters had died. She took some of her hair. And the reason why she did was she donated her body to science. So they wouldn't be able to have the funeral, do anything else like that. So what they did was they took a little bit of her hair and they buried it on their mother's grave.
So there's different reasons why
the hair was an important thing to her. I mean, I wish it was a little more than just like pulling out of a brush. It was a last minute thing she did, and that's what she did. So I just
need
kinda
a fresh cut.
Oh, you wanted like a full lock.
I don't blame you. It's like, what the heck, mom?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Why isn't your dad on the show?
Dad, if he ever filmed, he'd be his own spinoff. Oh my God. Dad's extreme, man. He's extreme. My father is. He's well known, especially with his company, and he's got a lot of very high end clients. He just
doesn't say what the company is, or no? Did they ever say it? They never did.
I wore the shirt on TV before. He's a god in his industry, and he does the impossible, and he'll tell people like it is, like he just doesn't care, you know. And he picks and chooses clients, and when he doesn't want to do a job, he'll give them this crazy number, and a lot of time they'll call back and have him do it for the crazy number. Because he's the best of the best. He really is.
And what's his industry?
They call it, I guess, like more like trade shows and marketing. Okay. But what he does is he does things for other things too. His agency here, can you go back? He does things for other companies as well. They'll come up with a project, and he'll have engineers with like college degrees, you know, everything else. He'll prove them wrong. He only has a high school, you know, education, but he'll prove computers wrong. He'll prove other people wrong. He'll take things and build the impossible. And, you know, he did it since he was 17. It's like a miracle child of things that he can do. I wish I had his talents. God, I do. But yeah, like I said, he's very, very,
private,
open about his stuff. He's very, very, speaks very open. I mean, you take like, I don't know. So I say they take like Donald Trump and then that guy from Orange County Choppers, Paul Senior.
Wow.
Mash them together a little bit.
So he looks like. So he does. He
no,
look
no,
like
no,
you.
Like, talking about like personality.
Or just the energy.
Oh, personality. Oh,
wow. Yeah, Trump personality. Yeah. Sounds okay. Like a lover. Yeah.
That sounds like rowdy like, TV.
He's rowdy. I mean, people think Trump's dad's still. He's very vocal.
Oh wow.
He speaks his
you
mind.
Don't have to answer, Paul. Did you vote?
Oh no, I can't. I haven't gotten my rights back in the whole felony.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can apply for get it back, but I haven't gotten it back yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you?
I got to work on that.
That's from when the house burnt down.
Yeah, that was when my house.
What happened there?
That is a very, 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 very crazy thing. I actually took a plea deal on that. I spent 18 months in jail fighting trial for that.
Wow.
They didn't have enough evidence. They didn't have any evidence for
fighting
it.
Trial.
Well, they came the prosecutor came with the plea deal where I could get probation. It was November, right before Thanksgiving. And they said, if you take this, you can go home for Thanksgiving. Now, keep in mind, I've been in jail for 18 months. And a lot of times I was in solitary confinement. So probably at least 12 of those, at least a year I spent in a single cell. So I was like, you know what? So if I take this, I get to go home or go to trial and not know what happens. And the thing is, in jail, people are like, oh, we wait for trial. It's like, people wait for trial forever. There was a guy.
Well, I mean, a lot of people take plea deals because they don't want
to
wait.
Not deal with it, right? Oh, so you took the plea deal.
So you
is that what you're saying?
You were in jail for 18 months. That's crazy.
And you what was the plea deal? It was you had to pay something or what?
There was a fine involved, and then I had probation.
Mm-hmm. Probation. Okay.
So I had 10 years probate for 5 years.
Wow.
Then what happened was when I went to prison was in the very last of probation. We had issues with my ex, so we had like joint restraining orders. I had sent a text message to her one time in regards to if you want to come get your stuff, and you get your stuff. It's a very nice, very well written text message, but it was a violation. And me and her found out she was doing a new career field that was risque, and she started some new hobbies that were not good. So there was a lot of reasons why we didn't work out. But then I felt bad for her, and then I let her move back in. So she wanted some money for me to go to Miami with her boyfriend. I said no. Call the cops on me. Got arrested for that. And then because of that technicality, they revoked my probation the very last month of my 5 years.
No!
Yeah. So when I got there,
rough.
I got stuff together. I sent the thing back to the judge. And then the police that were involved, they knew the truth. So they're like, you know, this is wrong. So I had, you know, everybody go forward, let the judge know the truth. Once the judge knew the truth of what was going on, he released me. So I got released from prison on child probation. I was only in prison for like a matter of few months, less than I think it was like 6 months at the most.
Wow.
I was in prison.
Okay.
So I filed
a
thing, they released me from prison. And then on top of that, because then basically when you're on shock that you start your probation over again, that wasn't really fair. And I wanted to get married in Brazil. Everyone's like, how'd you go to Brazil? How'd you get married? How'd it happen? Well, my probation was terminated. So the judge signed an order terminating all my probation. So anything that I had left over was ended, over, done. So nothing else to worry about, no reporting, nothing else. And then I just haven't ever got my apply for my ability to vote and stuff yet.
Okay. So was it a house that you lived in that got burnt down? Was your parents living in that house too?
No, it was my house.
Okay.
It was your house.
And burned down to the ground or just like a little fire? What's the?
It was considered a total loss.
Wow.
And were you in it when it, I don't know how much you can talk about, but.
Well, I mean, you know, I've already went through the whole thing on, but basically when that whole
how
thing
did it
happened,
start?
The whole situation of that week that happened was very, very depressing. At the time I had a girlfriend, we were together for a while and she was living there with all of her family. So all of her family was living in the house and she was pregnant and we were talking about getting married and things like that. Well, then I got a phone call from one of her, I guess, her boss's husband, who let me know that he's pretty sure the baby was his because they were swinging and everything else. So then she decided,
wow, she you're destined for TLC. In.
Yeah, it gets dark. So she's actually going to have an abortion. She tried to self-abort, ends up, you know, she took stuff and tried to, the baby was just, it was bad. So ended up losing the baby within a week. She messes up. Lost the baby. She left. Her family, when they moved out, you know, as I said, she's leaving. It's like, look, no offense to you guys. I don't want y'all here anymore because she's not here. They destroyed the house. They destroyed the toilets, the mirrors, the walls. They took everything of value of the house, everything of value. They stole my cars. One they found in a ditch. Another one just, when they finally did find it, was totaled. So both my cars got totaled. Ended up, because everything going on, I lost my job. So I lost my girl, baby, job, week. House total. Everything was just bad. So it was
a very the house down too.
Yeah, the house went down too. Yeah, the house went down. Nobody was in the house. Yeah, nobody was in the house. There was no animals or no one in the house when the whole thing happened.
Oh, thank God.
I was arrested I think it was like a year after. The house burned down in 2016 or 2017. They put out a reward. I think it was like $10,000 reward for any evidence on the house. Okay. So I had two ex-girlfriends go forward for the reward saying that I was at their house drunk. And then I made a confession that I burned down the house. And they had two confessions. The both ones were like slightly conflicted, but they arrested me. So okay. I spent 18 based months
off,
in jail.
Based off just that evidence?
You really make these women crazy, Paul.
Yeah, right? 18 months in jail. Well, that's why I didn't go to trial. They didn't have the whole thing of the trial. They didn't have enough stuff to go through the trial. Okay. So they were trying to find evidence and find stuff. So 18 months later.
Why was there a reward? Did you file like insurance or something that red flagged it? Or like why
insurance,
did they?
Oh, no, the insurance thing is automatic when everything went through and we put on that. I never got any money from the insurance company.
Okay.
I never really pushed the issue on the insurance. It's kind of like a thing happened down. You have a mortgage on it. You got to get the insurance to pay the mortgage and stuff off.
Yeah.
But no, I never got any money anything from that.
And what do you think happened if you didn't burn down the house? What happened?
There's a lot of things. They found a lot of paraphernalia and stuff in the house. They had people that were homeless going in and out of the house and everything else. Like,
right,
the house, all the windows are broken out. The toilets were busted up. It was basically unlivable anyway.
And where were you living? You weren't living
there? At the time, I had actually left and I stayed a lot with my parents.
Oh, okay.
With them, yeah.
Wow. So 18 months, do some people, they can wait trial at home? Did they think you were a flight risk?
House arrest or something like that. You can get lucky, or if you get out on bail, something like that. There was a guy in there. Never forget. This really, really, really nice guy, and he was in there for over 10 years. He was being accused of murder, and he didn't do it. So after 10 years, they found DNA evidence. They found the real murderer. So then they released him. So he literally fought it for 10 years.
And you believed him when you met him.
Yeah.
You did tell. You meet a murderer that you knew was a murderer?
Yeah. Huh? Okay. I'll check with Karina real quick and then come back down. I mean, there was one guy that actually we filmed with on TLC. They didn't show the footage, who actually was arrested for murder. His situation was, it was his ex-wife's boyfriend had came at him. I guess he was a drug dealer and came at him. So he killed him in self-defense. Now, being a killman self-defense, that wasn't the reason really got him really in trouble. Was here you guys go on that. Thank you, too, Greg. And with all thing happened with the self-defense there, what messed it up was he left the scene of the crime. He ran over the body, and the murder weapon disappeared, and they didn't find it. So, he went to prison for 10 years on that whole thing. So
did you feel like uncomfortable in prison? Like, how did you did you feel like you?
I mean, I learned a lot originally I've been through a lot, but being with my childhood, with my very strict father, Catholic schools, military for a very short stint, jail, and then prison. But prison taught me a lot that I use here today. Like, people ask me, how do you stay in the favela on this dangerous neighborhood? How do you deal with it? It's like you take the same mental lessons you deal with, like living in prison, and you just reapply them to bad neighborhoods.
Tell me, you're walking down the street. What's your brain thinking?
Main thing is just being there like you're supposed to be there, being natural, being sociable. Don't show fear. I'll hire people around here to do random things as well for like work and things like that. Trying to mingle and be part of the community. And as long as you are, you're fine. Like the area we're at here is controlled by like, I guess like a cartel or something. Mm-hmm. Police something all the time. You need to be out here. It's like, oh, we live here. You live there? It's like, yeah, but they know me here. They're fine. Right. We were only burglarized really once. And that was by like an ex-employee of the owner of the building who got in here and burglarized us. Outside of that, you know, I'll walk around 2-3 in the morning. I don't have a problem. Yeah. Everything's fine. Yeah, I'm all right. Now, normal American run through as a tourist? Oh, no.
Right.
No. They'd be done. They'd
have
be done
you learned the language? Like, are you learning the language as Karini learns English?
Karini's English has gotten a lot better. She's using different programs like Rosetta Stone, Duolingo, things like that. And
how about you?
I'm going through Rosetta Stone, stuff like that, and I'm learning a lot. I'm able to read. I'm understand a lot. I can hear and understand things. Speaking fluently is not something I can do yet.
Yeah.
When I can get citizenship here, which is great. Karini has learned English to the point. I think she's very fluent. And I've tested her the other day. I went out, and she's like, I don't speak English. Like, I mean English. So I'll give her a test, and I'll look at the window, and I'll see some of my peripheral vision, and I'll say, tell me what X this is. What is this? And then she'll tell me. I was like, see, without anything else in their words, you told me exactly what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
And I made it more and more difficult. But she's complex words she hasn't got down yet. But basic English, from being able to say anything in front of her and her not knowing a word I'm saying, she fully understands.
Like, that's great.
Yeah, a whole lot better, yeah.
And so, would your dad pay for the hospital that she could give birth somewhere safe and get pain meds?
Right now, the whole COVID, a lot of things got shut down with that. Now, he does have a lot more things coming in, hopefully now. I don't know. I don't know if he's
back in the because trade shows
savings.
And stuff.
Yeah.
How do you have money right now? Because on the show they tried to portray you as like, you couldn't afford. You had to ask your mom in the pet store.
Bad.
Like
that
how
was
did
all, that was
they...
all real deal stuff.
Okay.
We first came in and came out. I've been to jail and stuff several times, so I've lost everything. Had to rebuild. And the main thing is rebuilding your thing, rebuilding your life, and doing things as quickly as possible. So I've had that before, where I've lost everything. Had to rebuild. Lost everything. Had to rebuild. So we came in. We were in that house that you saw in the trailer park. Now, originally, it was $500 lot rent. Well, then they wanted me to make payments on it. So they wanted $500 lot rent, $500 payment for the building. So it was $1,000 right there, plus utility bills. So it was going to be over $1,000 a month to live in a 350-square-foot shed.
Yeah, right.
Totally stupid. So at that point, I was like, okay, we need to figure something else out. So I found a house, actually, on Facebook Marketplace. And the deal sounded too good to be true. It really did. But I went ahead and applied for it. Landlord was great. Got the deal, got the house there. And then as quickly as I could, you know, made money, rebuilt wherever I could, doing anything I could, wherever I could, just trying to make ends meet, and then just progressed from there. And of course, I was also still paying for our house here. So that was nothing that hindered us with the house here. The landlord did make a deal on that. So he did let me, you know, some of the stuff, I couldn't make a monthly payment. I would like roll over with no interest. Mm-hmm. And then when I came here, I actually brought an iPhone, which actually paid it off. Because iPhones here are worth like 2.5 the value as well.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to give him an iPhone and help him trade off on that, give a discount on that.
And what's your relationship like with TLC currently? You guys are no longer on 90 Day. Is that correct?
What happened is with Karini being upset every now and again, it got difficult. So what they did was I still communicate with them. Everything else is they stepped back from filming every little thing because there's different things around here for, you know, we went through this whole thing before with 490 Day Season 2 the other way. I mean, the whole thing happened. We had a huge, you know, blowout and then film crew comes and this is a woman divorced and this thing else, all things go bad. And then everything kind of like comes back, clicks together and it's crazy. But that, and there was like a point we were filming one time where she just got so sad and depressed that we had to go to a special place to, you know, have her checked out. And at the time she was breastfeeding, Barry was 6 months, and I didn't want her to stay anywhere, you know, where she can be, you know, with her child.
Mm-hmm.
So we did like an outpatient thing and it went really well. Things went really, really, really well. And then, like I said, it got to a point where her family, we had falling out because I did have her place in a place overnight for, I think it was like 2 or 3 nights. And the reason why I did that and I had the police come put her there was she first, a fan of the show who talks for a while and became a friend, had told me, hey, I'm a little concerned. Karini asked me a question. I was like, I'm a little worried about it. What's the question? She said, she asked me if people commit suicide if they go to heaven. it's a little strange. And then that night that that happened, she had told me, hey, I want to breast me some milk. I want you to take Harry. I don't want all the cameras off. I want some really strong sleep medicine to sleep. I want you to leave for the night and just come check on me and make sure I'm okay in the morning. I've had two family members commit suicide, to my knowledge, and I didn't want to risk anything. Anything happened to her, from when her life, anything else. I told her, Creanie, if anything happened to you, not only, you know, is Pierre going to be without a mother, I'm going to be in jail, because the first person they're going to accuse of murder, they're going to accuse me of murder. Probably.
No 90 Day Fiancé fans are going to have your back. You're right in prison.
They're going to accuse me of some crazy stuff. I was like, so her safety and her well-being and her health and her life is very, very important to me. For a lot
you
of
did, like, a good you point. Did like a 51-50 hold kind of thing, like a psych hold. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for a few I'm glad days. She's feeling better.
It's good for her to be around.
We
family.
Root for her. Really, we like her.
Let me see if I can get her. I think she's might be a little better upstairs.
Oh, you don't have to.
You don't
bother
have to
her.
Bother her. If she comes, it's no problem.
Yeah, we don't want to.
We know what it's like.
Yeah, she's over it. She's 8 months pregnant. We don't want her to.
Poor thing.
Better.
Hello. So,
you'll say hello. Okay. Just take a break.
I told you. Listen to the women.
Yeah, you're right.
For the next 30 days, maybe.
Yeah.
So like, you guys have obviously been through a bunch of drama and stuff. What do you say to like the people, the TLC, you know, people who watch the show who think that you're the problem? Like, how do you respond when people come?
There's not one person on either side. I mean, I'm quirky. I got problems too. I mean, there's things I might do in my minorities. That's why I try to step back and look. And I have other people tell me, you know, that are involved, like, hey, you know, that's why I care too. Because people, friends and family here, they're blaming me too. You know, and they'll be honest with me. So if I do something that I know what I need to do to change, to try to make things better. Then also, like I said, here, if I need to step back for a little bit, because maybe I'm part of the problem, then she's got family and friends here too that are trustworthy. Her family or blood, they're going to be here to watch her if she's pregnant, and, you know, Pierre and everything. That's okay. So, I mean, there might be something I do indirectly that I don't realize. So I'm not saying it's all just her. It's not saying it's all just me. I think it's a part, because one thing is, every week I talk to two different therapists for a long time. And until, like, she withdrew from therapy, and I kept going and figuring things out. And by doing that, you know, they helped me deal with my mental things. What am I doing? What do I need to correct in myself, make myself better? But also, what are things stressing her out that maybe I can, you know, help her do, deal with her situations? Mm-hmm. Which is like the big reason why I came back here to Brazil, where she's got her family, she's got friends, she don't feel alone, she can't feel like she's in prison. You know, it's like, you can go anywhere you want. You got your family here. You got all these different family. You're definitely not in prison. You're not in prison. Yeah. You're not locked down. You're not restricted to do anything you want.
I tell my husband, you know, I'm in prison too all the time. So I'd say the same thing.
So you guys, you're feeling hopeful about the future with you two. That's great.
I think that things will get a lot better after the birth. Will get better. That's what happened last time.
The last month, couple months is so hard, especially when you have another kid already.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
And money, that's worrying about money.
Yeah, trying to figure that all out. Solberg, it's, you know, one day at a time. You know, once you get back to the States, you know, I'll be able to take some, you know, do a lot more stuff and figure things out. Right now, I got enough stuff from savings and other things to get us by, I think, until then. The only thing I can't swing out right now, of course, is the hospital. But she's like, well, the hospital here, you can wait till 7 centimeters. And really, I'm already going to be in any pain anyway, so maybe there's no point. I was like, yeah, but because last time, that's one reason we traveled so fast to the United States is – we were going to travel the United States a long time ago before all that stuff happened. And we actually did a special type of thing with her visa. It was very rare how we did her visa. Very, 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 very rare. The actual process that we did on her, I think it took maybe a matter of weeks to get her stuff approved, where usually it takes like 18, 24 months. So it blew everybody away. When we got done, we went down to Rio. We got her visa and everything while we were down there. No one at Sharper TLC believed us. Saw some picture of it. Then we, of course, flew back here. We waited for a little bit, but she had complications from you both had kids, so maybe you can understand this, where they do the thing where they can cut. You know what I'm talking about. Well, after they cut that certain area, they didn't stitch it properly, so things are coming up, whole inspections, stuff like that. So with the doctor, and she wanted no help at the time, so we came back here. I mean, he talks to America. And they're like, oh, here you are. Look, you're smiling and you're wearing like a little goofy thing.
Oh, it's Karini.
You're smiling. Hey.
Oh my God, she looks gorgeous. How that's cute. 8 months pregnant. Oh my no God, way. She's so cute.
Hi, Karini.
Oh, you guys are gonna die. Wow, you look like a supermodel.
Yeah, you look great.
You do. You do the
wow.
You
look we can't good. Quite see her.
Your
face.
Hair looks so healthy and your it face does. Looks so beautiful. Wow, good for you.
Karini, how are you feeling? You feeling okay? Feeling?
I'm fine. I'm hungry.
Yeah. Do you want to make some fish? I got some fish in there. Some fish? No,
ooh, your hair is blue. Fun.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, love it.
It
love.
Looks really good on her. That works.
I have something to offer you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, no, you're
so
fine.
Cute. Oh, look at her.
Oh, she's a girl.
Look, Karini, we hope. Let me know. Hope that baby just flies right out and you don't have to worry about nothing.
Hopefully not.
Maybe you'll
yeah.
catch the baby, Paul.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, that actually happened.
Seems like that's, I'm not surprised.
Too. Yeah.
Seems like you've delivered a baby before.
No, what happened was the other way when we were filming, you were in the producer and the doctor, the first thing she said was strange, but she said, took a picture of the baby crowning. So I took my cell phone out. I'm videotaping my wife crowning to show her.
Things.
Yeah, it was weird. So I show it to her, and then to Dr. Gloves, I'll be back here, and you know, the other doctor meet in a little bit. Well, then Karini starts pushing him. She's already crowning. So, like, the baby's coming. So I tell the producer, hey, go ahead, and he's Brazilian. Go ahead and find a doctor. We need somebody in here to help deliver this baby. Well, he goes out, and he comes back, and we have a problem. There's no doctors in the hospital. Doctors
oh
in the hospital.
God.
So, yeah, the doctor's left.
Oh,
shift
I remember
chain.
This, I think.
And her cue, the doctor will be in here in probably about 3 or 4 hours, something like that. I'm like, no. So I'm on the phone. He's like, please don't cuss out the doctor. He's like, no, I'm Googling how to deliver a baby. He's like, you can't deliver this baby. I was like, you can deliver a baby? No, somebody got to deliver this baby. So I didn't send one angry message to the doctor. I'm not going to lie. The doctor came around, came back, gave birth to Pieri. And, you know, we went from there on that whole thing. But
odd. Yeah. Okay.
Now, one thing that is in the works right now, also, so my family's going to come here and visit in March. But when we go back in April, her goal is to take her family back with her. And they'll have 90-day tourist visas, so hopefully they can stay there for about 2 or 3 months.
Oh, that's good.
So her family will come live with us in the United States with the baby and everything. So that way she can't feel like I'm alone in the house. Like
that's
your family's
good.
Gonna live in the house
yeah.
with you. So at all times.
Do you think there's a chance you'd be on the show for that?
Yeah. Are you?
I mean, right now we're still under contract. They
okay.
step back.
Oh, you still are. Okay.
Things got very stressful with her and everything else in production. So they felt it was best to, you know, for her mental health to step back. And it's kind of like, you know, let things be, let things happen. Mm-hmm. And not worry about it. And that's one thing with TLC and Sharp is anytime over the last, you know, since 2017, we started filming. Anytime we had drama or problems and that got too bad, they a lot of times would step back. They wouldn't like get in there and make it worse or, you know, try to film on it. They would just, okay, let's just step back, let things get better. And they knew when things got tense, they had people talk to us for mental health reasons, things like that too, if we got too stressed out. So they always were good. If we got mad, they stopped filming. We stopped production. Yeah. Anything got filmed that was too crazy, they cut it from the show. Which I'm curious if and when they do our 90-day journey, there's a lot of scenes of us. They show internationally. They don't show in the United States.
Oh, really?
So very, very, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
there's quite a few, all 4 seasons. There's a lot of scenes that they'll be in like Mexico or Brazil. They never show an extended cut, bonus scenes, anything like that. There's a lot of footage from us. And this last season when things got crazy, they really minimized a lot on there. So there's a lot of scenes that got cut or withheld. I'm very curious to see if they put those on there or not.
So we got a lot of questions about why you took her to the poop factory when it was pouring rain.
Yeah, there's actually a very good backstory to this. People wondering why we did that, because originally we were going to do the water company drinking water, but then we actually went to social climate. So no, what happened was with the water stream, which is dark now, I can't show it to you, but there's like a natural creek here, like a natural stream, and in that natural stream people kept running their plumbing and like their sewage and stuff that lines to the water. So it used to be full of, you know, fish and animals and life, is now full of poop. And it's when it floods, like you smell the sewage coming to the street. It's really disgusting. But if they had a sewage treatment plant here, they wouldn't have that problem. The water would come out clean and sanitized, run all the lines that like people freak things. So all the poop goes in the creek, so then the wildlife and everything goes away. It's very sad, very depressing, all the whole situation. But that was the whole backstory of that, why we went there. Because, like I said, there was places like that here where they didn't have that. And when it rains here in the rain season and it was a street, you'll have like turds floating in the street. It's just really nasty. So they finally have, I'm not turning my mic here at all. They finally, her family finally moved upstairs here where they don't have to worry about, you know, their house flooding with poop water or anything like that. Thank God. Yeah. But yeah, and but that's why I said poop water in the first season when I was in the water. Someone actually flushed the outhouse and I saw turds coming out like about between six and 10 feet we were filming at. I saw the pipe, I saw the poop coming out. So obviously I wasn't comfortable because I didn't like anyone's poop being so close to me in the water. And of course they had her splash me in the face and I did the famous line of the poop water thing.
Okay. That
was also, did you feel like you were supposed to get that job and you were kind of set up to look like an idiot?
I mean, I was trying anything at that point in time, anything would work, anything like that. I was trying anything I possibly could. Yeah.
I felt bad. I felt he should have hired you. I thought that you were definitely going to get it. Yeah.
A lot of people tell me no, the things I've tried a lot. And of course, having my, you know, felony record. And that's one thing, even for my Carini, I was offered some very good jobs. I got hired on my HR, everything else very good. They were okay with my record. But then what happened was their insurance companies wouldn't let them hire me because they said it was insurance liability. So, because the whole
They
said insurance liability because, but what if Paul goes crazy and he comes back and burns down the company or something nuts? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of offers that were very, very, very lucrative that I had got offered.
I see.
And I lost them because things like that. So, I mean, eventually one day maybe I'll try to apply for a government pardon or something like that, see if that'll help. But in the meantime, do whatever I can, you know, on the internet, you know, anything I can do for my family, anything I can do to make things be, which right now we're okay. I wish so bad I could get her in a good private hospital and pain medicine.
We got to get dad to foot that bill somehow.
Try to, but as long as you get the payments and things like that, you know, even alone like that. And we have some other things working on too, you know, that might work, you know, stuff that might be some like special content where she wants to be a cosmologist. Like, okay, I'll let you wax me. I'll let you do this different thing. I'll go in there.
I'll be your dummy.
Oh, yeah, sweet
stuff out there. In the future.
Do you feel like from 2017 to now, the show has become more staged? Has production gotten more involved? When you started, was it just?
No.
Would you say to fans saying that it is becoming more staged?
No. I think it's coming less. It got a lot less. And there was things that some people didn't even catch. I know about that happened. Not with us. But they
can you give us one juicy less. One?
I'm not going to ruin anything because I'm the people on there, everything else. But there's some things on there that, you know, I'm not getting too much into it, but it's actually a lot less. It's a lot less. Now with us, anything they try to steer, we're with us, we'll make things out of control. So they try to steer things down. Mm-hmm. So with us, it's kind of like they would catch the drama as it happened. I mean, occasionally something would happen that we might have to go through that happened, but it was like real life things that happened. But typically they catch drama, you know, real deal with us. But that's one thing of them has changed a lot. They don't want to catch like a lot of the negativity. They don't want to like blow up the little things up a lot more. A lot of producers we dealt with, they really didn't want the stage stuff or anything like that. They wanted natural flow. Now, some people might get a different producer, it might be something different. But I think a lot of people is now, I think they're trying to get away from the negative stuff. They're trying to get away from, you know, all the too crazy stuff, the stuff that gets too Jerry Springer-ish. I'm trying to get back to like a good happy medium. I think they're trying to make it more reality and fresh, and they're doing a really good job doing that. But no, in the past, I think there was some stuff out there.
They're trying to keep it more real, you'd say.
Yeah, I think fans caught on to different things here and there. And with us, you know, they caught real deal. You know, they hang with us, things get drawn and dramatic. And I'm crazy and weird anyway. So they never knew what Paul was going to do.
We were joking around the film crew. You got to get your Paul bonus because you're dealing with me.
Ooh, sounded better there.
Because you're nuts. I mean, I'm working. I go off and do the most random things. I go running off. I was a scene where I went running off down here by the cartel building. I didn't sell that footage. But they actually chased me down while I was running around this little cartel building. And all that footage got cut.
You have an iconic run, Paul.
You do have a very distinct run.
I never knew that. I always wondered why in high school, in school and stuff, they only run track.
always came in last. Who taught you?
That's nice.
Who taught you how to run? Like, how do you learn how to run?
I never realized the whole thing to run. When I was in boot camp, they never said anything about a run. My drill sergeant never said anything about
you were in the military?
I think they give you some tips.
Nothing. They gave me nothing about running at all.
Fascinating.
I did my little 2 mile.
What's your fastest mile?
That's a good question.
Okay. Now the reunion. Do you hate the reunions? Is it a nightmare? Something that you don't look forward to? Is it stressful?
I like reunions. The reunion screening wasn't on. The one, she was actually in New York with us, but they felt it was in her best mental health interests for her to just kind of take a break from it. Because that time, it was very strong, postpartum, things like that, and it was very difficult for her. So they were very respectful. And they had, while I was filming, they had somebody with her. She did like a tour of New York and things like that. So they made sure she was fully taken care of while I was filming. But the tell alls get dramatic.
That's nice.
And it's a lot of mental disease. And you never know what somebody's going to say, try to just spare some stuff up. Yeah. And she was in no condition to go through that. So that's why,
one that says they stepped back. And it was just in her best interest. And it was the right thing. TLC and Shep were very nice about it. They didn't pressure or anything like that. It's like, look, worry about your mental health. Worry about your child. Don't worry about the television show. Don't worry about it.
Oh, wow. That's great.
That's great.
Yeah, so they were really, really great about that. And then on the S tell-all, we weren't on it. Things got crazy. We were actually getting prepped up for the tell-all. And then right before I started filming, literally the poop water hit the fan and everything went everywhere. So rather than get, film crew down like that, like, look, we think it's best for you guys to deal with your personal matters on your own privately. So we did, and things worked out. We got back here in Brazil, thanks to Escalate, the people that she was with backed off, and we're here with her family who have been wonderfully helpful. And like I said, it's been very good for her, because my biggest thing is making sure her mental health's good.
Yep.
And of course, also making sure things are going well with our financial reasons. But the main thing is to making sure, my wife and mother, and my children is doing okay mentally. Yep. And here she's doing all right. She's going to salon. Yep. She's seeing her family. She's got her son with her too all the time. I'm going to be here to help out.
Yep.
She won't feel better until she gets her baby out. That's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's the worst. Who is your favorite 90-day person? And if you can say, is there somebody you've met who you really disliked from the cast?
Gosh, anybody I disliked before, we've kind of worked things out. So I'm saying I don't like. We have a lot of people to talk to. I've talked to Angela a lot. I've talked to Larissa. I've talked to Jesse. I've talked to quite a few cast members.
Okay.
Quite a few. If people reach out to me, something like that. I talked to
Jesse.
Jesse. Yeah, it was funny because with them, I had this idea months ago that we all go on, not the way it's used now. But I was like, we should all go on OnlyFans and do a thing where you an inside, not the stuff that's on there. Stuff inside of our lives, personal lives, personal sneak inside, peek inside, 90 Fiance cast members' lives type thing. Which me, I'm working on content for doing something like that myself for ours to launch. But I want to make sure I have some good content, some good behind the scenes stuff that people, will want to see. Mm-hmm. But some people took that and they went another direction. But they're getting 40,000 a month. So I wish I was getting referrals from that.
Yeah.
Is that Larissa? 40?
Might be Larissa.
$80K a month. That's great. Gosh, you can't imagine the taxes. There's no expenses on that. Only so many whips you can expense.
Yeah. That's a lot of money. You're making a lot more money from the third party. There's another cast member.
Karina could make some money, You have her ironing clothes, pregnant. I bet you men would pay for that.
Oh yeah. There's a cast member. Who has made $500,000 on Cameo.
Wow.
And they've only been on one thing. I found out from somebody who did the referral stuff for them, and they made $500,000.
You can't say who or who is it? Did you know?
He won't say.
If you look at the people of 90 Fiance on Cameo, you can probably figure out.
Larissa?
It's the person who Cameo advertises the most.
Okay. All right.
One 90 Fiance person who Cameo advertises, you can kind of figure out.
Oh, is it Annie and what's his face? Okay.
All right. Let our listeners guess.
No, but $500,000.
Wow.
Do you feel like you should get paid more from TLC while you're filming?
I think
that you should both get paid.
I can't. We both food campaign.
Oh, you both do. Oh, we were told.
Yeah. So how it works
maybe that's love after lockup.
Originally, when a normal 90-day, one person gets paid because person can't get paid because the visa situation. But how we were always paying because Karina had a green card. Whatever our original thing is, everything we're paid equally. Whatever I'm paid, she's paid. So every time I'm paid, she's paid exact same amount. Everything is equal and fair. Everything that when I get paid, it goes into my bank account. When she gets paid, it goes in her separate bank account. So that's the first thing we did in America is I set up with her own bank account in her name, so that her payments would go directly into her bank account.
Okay.
So we both get paid on that. In the very beginning, I wish we got paid more. But I mean, it was the main thing was I had safety and people with me, and it was a new show, things like that. Now I'm sure now they probably pay people a lot better, you know, and I'm sure things are a lot better now. We were kind of the guinea pigs in a lot of ways, in learning things, what works, what doesn't work. And I mean, they paid us. And I think they paid us fine. I think I'm not mad about the money like that. I mean, the first season, it was very little. I'll say that. But they were there and they helped out and they looked out for us. I mean, I was on the Amazon River, you know, I had my own personal protection crew with me. Yeah. I mean, that's it paid for itself right there.
Yeah.
To me,
right.
It was worth the money. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I could have went up there and all kinds of things going to happen.
Didn't have that in prison.
No, I liked having that. So security in that. Awesome. Season 2 is more, you know, it got better and I think they
good
did.
For
they,
you, whoever Paul.
Did, they helped us out. So I'm not going to complain about payments. I'm not going to complain about things like that. You know, they looked out for us best they could. We didn't always see eye to eye, but they made sure they looked out for safety and well-being of everybody. And that was the most important thing. It wasn't about drama and ratings. It was about safety and well-being. That was one thing they were real big on us. That's why we're currently, we didn't film a lot of stuff recently and pulled back because they were more worried about safety and well-being than about ratings.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that's very important to us. They always make sure we had access to health professionals, anything we need, they make sure we had access to. So they're always worried about mental health and billing of a rating. So that's, like I said, that's why they stepped back. And that's why we weren't, you know, on, you know, other things like the strikes back or things like that, or on the tell-all or jumping out like on this next season, everything else, you know, it's kind of like step back, breathe, have a good year to kind of relax, you know, worry about ourselves, our marriage and the children, our mental health and being and the future, anything can happen.
Yeah.
I just have one quick question. Have you had a famous person reach out to you that's a big fan that we would be surprised?
I've had a few people reach out. I'm trying to think in particular. Be real big. I know a big fan of Karini. She never reached out to us, but a fan of Karini was Lady Gaga.
Oh,
I actually talked to one. I feel really bad about this. I feel so bad. I feel so bad. So Dave and Annie called me one night, and they had a person that wanted to know about us, to talk to us and everything else. And they had a person on the phone. And at the time, I was kind of stressed out and everything else, and I didn't recognize who they were. And I felt bad, and I treated them like a normal person. Dave was like, "Didn't you realize who that was?" I'm like, yeah. She said her name was Paula Abdul. And he's like, yeah. Paula Abdul. And I'm like,
who called you and had Paula Abdul on the line?
David called me.
David and Annie.
I was like,
Dave and Annie. I
felt so
I didn't
bad.
Understand.
I felt it was everything that was going on, and then
they
I looked
they
up.
They know
and
Paula like, Abdul?
I listened to her music
They know her though?
Up. Huh?
How do they know Paula Abdul?
Oh, David A. knows all kinds of people.
Wow.
She was
good
so
for
nice
them.
And so sweet. Yeah, she was the nicest person.
That's funny.
And
I bet.
Talked a little bit what was going on, and she was so kind. And I just wish, my mom's a huge fan of her. Huge fan. And I wish I'd know. I could have said something.
Oh, could have given her a shout out.
But yeah, she was so sweet, so nice, and everything was going on, and I recognized, and then it didn't click, and I'm like, oh my God, I listen to her music. My mom's a big fan of The Voice, and, you know, it's complicated. You know, I've sometimes celebrities, you know, you don't recognize them right off the bat.
Yeah.
Some people like what he looks
like.
That's
not a recognizable voice. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I should have recognized from The Voice, from seeing everything else. I should have been like, oh my God, it's Paula Abdul. I listen to music all my life, you know, childhood.
Yeah.
And, but no, that was a really crazy one. So it has been celebrities and things
that's
like
cool.
that. That one was probably one of the bigger ones. And
yeah, that's good.
God, such a really nice, sweet woman.
That's awesome.
And I wish I felt so bad.
I love you, Paula.
Yeah,
she was
great. And yeah. I felt so bad for not being like, oh my God, you know, like, oh my God, hey, Paula, how you doing?
Well, she's listening to this, and Paula, we love you, baby.
Yeah, really, yes, she's great. She's a fan of the show. God, so many celebrities, you know, so Rogan's fan of the show, Lady Gaga's fan of the show, Ellen's fan of the show.
I think, a lot of people.
Always feels fan of the show.
We love Seth Rogen. We have Seth a kinship.
Right. We had one.
Love to have you on, Seth.
Chrissy Teigen's fan of the show. Oh, we were doing a mixer with TLC. And one celebrity reached out, I'm trying to remember her name is. Oh my God. It's a real famous comedian. She's on movie stuff together. I can't think of what her name is
Amy
right now.
Amy Schumer, maybe?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she had talked to somebody else. No, she reached out to a person. It was a media person that was at the mixer.
Oh, okay.
And she'd reach out to them and then she'd ask the cast members, she would ask cast members at the mixer things for her. Indirectly through her, but
we're talking
directly. That's awesome. Good for you.
Well, Paul,
so you're having
you.
A positive time. That's good,
right?
You can ask me any of the questions you'll have. Like I said, hopefully, you know.
Oh
you
yeah, no, I think we got what we wanted. Anything you want to clear up about your portrayal on the show before we let you go? Anything you want to say?
I mean,
to the listeners?
I'm not. I got mental problems. I'm not gonna lie. I got issues. I'm quirky. You know, occasionally I would snap and flip out. You know, I mean. I'm not saying I'm innocent by any means. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say, hey, you treated me bad. And reality is, like, first thing is, I told everybody else on the show, you know, they can't take anything and show us if we don't give it to them on the camera.
That's true.
They can't, like, it's not CG. It's not CGI or anything like that. You know, so if you don't do it, you know, it's you just don't, if you don't want to see it, you don't be an idiot, then just don't film.
Do you weigh your luggage before you leave home now?
Yeah, I always do. Always weigh my luggage now. Always weigh my luggage. That's something I really, really, really do. I weigh all my stuff, bring on my crazy gear.
Heartbreaking. See you at the airport and not know what to take.
Oh, my God. I flipped out. And then I had to come back on that one. Yeah. Because the first time I had 5. And then this last time we came. Oh, my God. Oh. This last trip, we brought 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. We ended up squeezing in 10 bags.
Wow.
Wow. You guys got a lot of stuff. Person,
cranny cow right all. And a lot of them were like 50 plus pound bags. Like one was like a couple, like two were like almost 70. And I had to put all my stuff in like one bag. Because I came to Brazil, left my stuff here, and Karina come back. Well, she wanted to have some parties, stuff like that. So she brought, of course, all her stuff, all, you know, a lot of Yeri stuff. She didn't bring me baby toys. So I rebought all the baby toys I was here. She brought her stuff, her makeup, her cosmetics. She brought tons of party stuff. God, I mean, literally, it was through the airport was a nightmare going through there. I think it was crazy. I mean, we had 10 bags. So I had to, you know, pay for help, get here, getting up the stairs and stuff.
Jesus.
Which is crazy. Of course, she got up.
10 here, bags of party favors. Sounds fun.
Oh, yeah, we did. We have a family gathering area next door. You've got an indoor pool over there now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
wow.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll show you if you can glimpse it.
You're making a nice little life.
It started out as a joke.
Oh, I thought you meant like there's a real. Oh, okay. Wow, that's cool. Yeah. Why not?
All right.
Yeah, I got a pool in there.
You feel good about that sanitary condition? I feel like you wouldn't go into
just make sure,
water.
Though, Pierre doesn't get the hell near there.
I have a filter on it.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Okay. Water is actually more sanitary than the drinking water.
Okay. So you know what you're doing.
There's like great stuff coming out of it here. So we have to use a bottle of water and stuff.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Through the checkbook next. Bore everybody to death. I have a million questions for you. I'll let you go.
We appreciate
it. If you want to again, and you can ask me more questions, that's fine. Like I said, Cranny, I'll probably be in a better mood.
Yeah, yeah. We can always do a part two.
No problem.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Paul. We'll let you know when we post it.
I wish you the best.
It should be posted tomorrow. So we'll share that with you when it's up.
And Carini and everybody buy a cameo so poor Carini can get pain meds at two freaking centimeters. All right. It's up to everyone.
Yeah. Go do it. Thanks, Paul. We'll talk to you hopefully again.
Give Carini our best.
Bye.
Oh, absolutely will. She's helping me out on the cameo. It's just been fun.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. All right. Thanks, Paul. Bye.
Thanks. Have a good one. Bye.
You too.
Ah, spring. Nothing like the world progressing towards summer to inspire your own progress. That's what life's all about. In your career, relationships, and your finances. Let's talk about that last one. With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest. so your weekly grocery run can feel even more productive and that morning coffee can taste like a little victory. And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities to get lower rates on loans, like for a new ride or finally having a home to call your own. Sounds like progress, right? With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.